You don't go out and looking to date. You should be busy about your father's business. And then that is how Boaz, your mate, the one that God has for you, will locate you.
So he had to treat you like a lady.
Absolutely.
He had to respect you.
He has to respect me.
And he had to show you his integrity,
yes,
his character.
Absolutely.
So he didn't just say, come here.
Oh, no, he did not.
And
I would have never responded to that.
It took some time. What's going on, Encouraged Nation? How are you? You know this is Dr. Derwin Hickman, your pastor, your friend. Come on, the doc, your counselor. Come on, your next door neighbor, your cousin, your nephew. Come on, your confidant. You know how we do it here in Encouraged Nation. Listen, we come and talk about it. Come on, we come be strong and courageous. You got to talk about it today. This right now is an opportunity for you to find some faith somewhere, because right now, I've got a power-packed young lady in the house. Come on, Dr. Chaps. I mean, man, I'm in Atlanta, and I had to have on my podcast. One of my guys told me about a connoisseur of Paris. And Alan, you know, his wife, man, I've been dealing with him for some years, but I did not see the force that was behind him. And I'm telling you today, I am here in Atlanta, Georgia, talking to a mighty woman of God who's doing amazing things. She's from Africa. She's beautiful. She's gifted. She's talented. She's amazing. She's smart. And I'm telling you, today, you want to go get that little girl. You want to go get that sister, that mother that's looking for something to encourage her. Right now, I feel like the anointing of God is going to take over the podcast. So we're going to try to hold on, but we're going to let the anointing flow here. And so today, I want y'all to help and welcome Dr. Elizabeth Chaps to Encouraged Nation. Come on, make her feel warm.
Thank you.
All
Thank
right.
you very much for having me on your set.
Doctor, I am excited about what God is going to do through you.
Amen.
And through this opportunity.
Amen.
To be able to speak with you,
yes,
and to introduce my audience to who you are.
Okay.
And the mighty things that you're doing.
Amen.
And when we start to look at those things, we start to talk about being a visionary.
Mm-hmm.
She's the founder of Elizabeth Chaps, Global Ministries.
Yes, correct.
Talk to us about what is Global Ministry? What does that mean?
Well, the Lord has called me to be a voice into the nations for people all walks of life. And he has sent me to those nations. So that's where the name came from.
Wow.
Yes.
So we're not just talking about here.
No, we're not just talking about in the U.S. We're talking about abroad as well. Yes.
Now, we hear the accent. Talk to us about that. How did you go from being in Africa, Cameroon?
Yes.
To now here you're in Atlanta.
Okay.
And you're saying, but I'm international.
Okay. Well, I migrated from Cameroon at the age of 18, and I came to the U.S., and that one is a whole story that we're not going to unpack today.
Yes.
That's where the accent is from. So I was 18, but I came here, being in the U.S. most of, you know, more years than I've been in Cameroon. So, but I still have that mixture. My father is French, so you also have that little mixture in there, in the accent.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love that. Now we said, where did you tap into your faith? Was it there in Africa? Or was it after you got here to the States after 18? Where?
It is funny. So I came to the Lord. The Lord draw me to him rather in my early 20s. But I remember I was on a trip to Africa. And the Lord had already started knocking on my doors, like around age 20 or so. But I was hardening my heart and to him, because I had a lot of questions and accusations towards him. And I'm going to give a little bit of background. So I lost my mother when I was still but a child. And my father was not in the picture. And so I grew up as an orphan, and I went through a whole lot of things. So whenever the gospel was being preached to me, I didn't receive it because I used to think that God was not a good God. So during this trip, particular trip in Africa, I received the Lord. So he put, so it's funny. So we had a friend that is a pastor, and he invited me to stay at his house, and it was Bible study morning, evening, and I couldn't escape. I was their guest. And then they decided they're going to start doing Bible study with me. So I had an issue where God literally, I could say that I literally heard his voice. It was not audible, but it was inside of me. And he said, I have been pursuing you for a long time, but this is the last straw. You either come home or you perish.
Wow. So it was an awakening.
Yes.
That was taken.
Yes.
By the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Saying, come now.
Yes, come now.
You got to move.
Yes.
You got to move.
Yes.
And many times we don't move when we hear the voice.
You know, God is such a gentleman. He's never going to force us, but absolutely, he will never stop nudging. Mm-hmm. But there's a type of voice when he speaks, you cannot quite ignore. It was an urgency, urgency in that voice. Yes. Yeah, yeah. And he literally put the choice before me. Yeah. You either choose life or you choose death. Even the worst person under the sun does not want to die. Yeah. I didn't want to die.
Yeah. Wow.
So I gave my life, you know, so born in Africa and received Christ in Africa, not in my native country at that time, and then came back, and because I was on vacation there, came back to the U.S. where I adhered to a ministry, a church, where I began to grow. I fell in love with the Word of God because I love knowledge, and I began to devour the Bible. Yes.
Yeah. You said devour.
Yes.
I feel like that's what God wants to do.
Yes.
He wants to devour us. He wanted that. It's only him.
Yes.
An appetite for him.
Yes.
And so when we start to look at that in this time right now, how can we get an appetite for it?
Well, it starts with speaking to God. I mean, make your request known. Relationship, yes. Just let him know God will love nothing but to woo us. You know, he's going to begin to draw you on that path. You know, because he says he feels the thirsty, you know, and he feeds the hungry. Once you begin to be thirsty for him, he will fill you, you know, with his living water. And if you're hungry, he will feed you with his bread, is the Word of God.
But you know what you said something? Wooing.
Yes.
Wooing means that there is an intentionality.
Yes.
To draw you closer.
Yes.
And it does not always happen immediately.
No.
But it is something that is there, which is a tempting.
Yes.
It is also an experience and an exposure.
Yes.
In order to bring you back and to show you some of those things. And the Word of God should be doing that.
Yes.
God is wooing us every day.
Mm-hmm.
And whether we are listening for those audible calls, mm-hmm. listening for those things, how do we hear the voice of God?
How do we hear the voice of God? Well, he did say, my sheep hear my voice.
Yeah.
I like to say, you're not a sheep only because you have already accepted him.
Yeah.
Because he said in Jeremiah, before you were formed in the womb.
Yeah.
He didn't even say your mother's womb.
Yeah.
Because your mother can be a crackhead.
Yeah.
She can be anything. Yeah. You know, God just needed a womb that, you know, he will plant you in so you can grow, and that will form your body so you can come here on earth.
Yeah.
He said, before you were formed in the womb, I, your creator, I knew you. You are my sheep. You are my own. So he can speak to us. Like, he spoke to me even while I hadn't yet given my life expressly to him. But I heard him. Now that I'm in the Lord, I can trace back in those days when I was still living in rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
I can literally tell you those times when I heard him and he spoke to me, and maybe I couldn't really tell what was going on, but today I know he was speaking to me all along.
Come home.
Yes.
Come home.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're talking about that young woman right now who is saying, I like the things of the world and the church is this.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to that young woman right now?
I would tell her a little bit of my story.
Mm-hmm.
So when I didn't like God You know, yes, I didn't like, I have to be honest. And I used to tell him that. And I used to think that God was mean because my people perish for lack of knowledge. My people, I'm saying again, not just because you've given your life, his people, because God knows you, you know, from the realm of eternity. And, but once we come on the side of the earth, on the side of the world, and we encounter all of the setback, the pains and the rejection, and the trauma, the abuse, you know, it makes us go into a shell, you know, it makes us build a fortress around us. And when the good news comes, because you've been accustomed to hear so much bad news, you know, even good news sounds bad because you've had people in your life who seemingly was trying to give you good news, but it turned out to be a manipulation and it turned out to be bad for you. So you start hiding. So now when truth comes, it's hard to discern it. I remember in those days, I used to look at the ceiling and argue with God. I used to tell him, why did you send me here? You know, you just sent me here to suffer. You killed my mother and you caused my father not to be in the picture. And I was about 19 when I tried to reach out to my father. And then I find out that he too, his dad. So here I am. Who am I? You know, so when Christians were trying to speak to me about Jesus, I was like, Jesus is not nice to me. So when people go through a lot of trauma, trauma will shut your heart. It will close your ears, you know, because the devil wants to keep you there.
Wow.
And the way that God had to, you know, brought that shift in my life, I was alone in a room and I was meditating on the word that he told me, come home now. But then I argued with him. I said, but why would you want me to believe in you? You know, you killed my mom. You know, you took my father away. I grew up in trauma, in rejection. But why should I choose you? And then I used to be a random Bible opener at a time. So and somehow I had a feeling to open the Bible and it fell on the page on Ezekiel 16, where God talks about this child that was born, but this child that was unloved and it was tossed in an open field and its umbilical cord was not cut and it was tossed and left to kick in his own blood. And God, it's written there that, and I saw you kicking in your own blood and then I passed by. And when I passed by and I saw you, I said to you, live.
Wow.
With capital L, which is Zoe life. And I read it and I felt like this is a letter from God to me. I felt like this is God answering me. And then it broke something in me. I immediately opened up, you know, to a possibility. You know what? He loves me. And then this is what God told me. I have been the one to watch over you. Yes, I acknowledge you went through this, but it wasn't my doing. You went through that, but it wasn't my doing. And all of these things were assigned to finish you, to kill you, to destroy you. But I kept you, and I kept you, and I put in you my Zoe life. Even through this trauma that was supposed to take you out, I caused you to live through it so that you will see this day.
Wow. Wow.
And it broke me forever. And God said to me, I am your friend. Mm. Your enemy is the devil.
Wow.
That's who has been doing all these things. And I want to talk to a young person out there who may be listening. God is a good God, is true. And the devil is a bad devil. He hates you, which is why he causes the circumstances to happen. But there's a reason why you're still breathing and you are here, because it's not over. It's not over.
And this is one of the things you said, trauma. Mm-hmm. You spoke about live.
Yes.
And I was hearing God say, live through the trauma.
Yes.
There's life.
Yes.
You spoke of a womb.
Yes.
There's life in the womb.
Yes.
Which means that there is a birthing that has to take place.
Yes.
Even though there's pain in the womb.
Yes.
It's still about the life that's going to come through the pain.
Absolutely.
Through the opposition.
Yes.
Through the challenges.
Yes.
Through the disappointment.
Yes.
Through the hurt,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we see life in everything that we have, everything works together for us, God.
Absolutely.
Everything is going to come together.
Absolutely.
And as we look into that, everything is coming. And you started talking about the counseling part of trauma, which is one of your background pieces that I want to talk. How do you talk to people now in reference to we went through the pandemic? That was traumatic.
That was traumatic.
To everyone, not just one person. Mm-hmm. But this was globally affecting.
Yes.
Talk to me about what do we mean to be healed in trauma? Well, heal from trauma.
Yeah, to heal from... This is where counseling really comes in. I like to say that not every healing happens at a pulpit.
Yeah.
You know? And not every healing happens with the laying on of the hands. And it's powerful when you're able to speak to somebody who, first of all, lets you know they understand you, you know, and the healing comes when you begin to unpack what's inside. The Bible says that once you bring what is in the darkness into the light, it loses its power. And a lot of the time when people are carrying pain, the pain that they're carrying, because they have not quite found somebody they can unpack to, you know? Yeah. And the Bible says that to confess to one another, I like to... submit that is not only do it include the confession of sin, but is the confession of your fear, of your anxiety, of your pain, and even trauma, you know, to somebody else. And Jesus is called a wonderful counselor, you know. And yes, as much as we love prayer, prayer is wonderful. And prayer is us speaking. But most of us have not developed the discipline to sit long enough to receive the counseling, you know, from the Lord. So he has raised, you know, people like you and myself and so many out there that he has equipped, you know, and empowered to be able to, you know, to be put in this position where to be able to help people draw these fears out and leave it at his feet, you know?
Right.
Yes.
And so when we start talking about the counseling and healing, and of course you said some of the things that you went through in your family, what happened? You're married now.
Yes.
And you have children now.
Yes.
So how did you find love again when you felt like God didn't love you, Jesus didn't love you at that time, he took your mom, your dad didn't come through, and now, how did you find love again?
Well, it was a process. It's not something that happened overnight, though now I knew that Jesus was not the author of all my pain. Like I said, I began to get to know him through his word. I began to read, you know, stories and parables and being taught by his word. And then through relationship with, you know, the Holy Spirit, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, and through meditation and just staying with Jesus and knowing, you know, what love is. And, I struggled for a long time with unforgiveness. And the Lord helped me, you know, to understand that me forgiving was not excusing the people who did it. Me forgiving those who had hurt me was a gift to myself. It was releasing, giving myself permission to live and to come out of that place of pain that kept me in perpetual, you know, pain and stagnation, you know. So it's a lot. I don't think we have time.
So how did Alan approach you for a woman of your stature now? You're understanding the word. You're seeing the word differently. How did he approach you?
I think that's a question that he, you know, he probably will answer a different way. Yeah. But, you know, we were friends. We became friends. Okay. And we would talk often and oftentimes. And he had a revelation where God told him, he told me later that that's your wife. But he didn't know how exactly, because I'm full-time ministry, and it was kind of awkward to him. But through friendship and through talking, and the Lord made it plain, you know, yes.
So there was a courtship.
There was definitely a courtship.
So it wasn't, let's go on a dating show and find the one first and pick that one.
It was a
courtship.
It was a long courtship.
It was a long courtship.
Yes.
That meaning that, again, he had to woo you.
Yes.
So he had to treat you like a lady.
Absolutely.
He had to respect you.
He has to respect me.
And he had to show you his integrity,
yes,
his character.
Absolutely.
So he didn't just say, come here.
No, he did not, and I would have never responded to that.
It took some time. So he did find it.
A wife.
A wife. Find it what?
A good thing.
And he obtained a what?
Blessing.
Okay.
Favor from the Lord.
From the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So when we understand those things, the value.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes right now what we are seeing a lot of times is women not valuing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
yes,
men not respecting women
mm-hmm,
and showing them that they're valuable.
Yes.
So when we're talking to Christian women that are saying, I've been waiting, I've been through relationship after relationship, maybe God don't want me to get married. Mary, God don't want me to have this. What would you say to that?
Well, it comes from, first of all, knowing, you mentioned it, value. You have to know who you are, and in who you are, know your value. And you don't have to, you know, in my culture, and even in a biblical culture, a father is the one who gives the daughter away after vetting the man.
Mm.
You know, you don't go out and looking to date. You go about your father's business, and just like Ruth, you know, and then Boaz found you. But your eyes should not be open to look, who is my husband? What is that you? Is that you? You should be busy about your father's business. And then that is how Boaz, your mate, the one that God has for you, will locate you.
Okay.
Yes.
So you said we shouldn't just be saying, I'm just going to sit here
mm-mm,
while he does everything.
No. No.
Right?
No.
So that's not always reality for everyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means that when a woman goes and do what she needs to do, it's fine. And you can be respected in the field as well.
Yes.
And so what does respect look like?
Well, for respect for a woman,
just respect for a woman. When you're saying now, and we're talking to young women,
mm-hmm,
okay, respect. And this is also for a man. A
yes,
young man that's also dealing or going through a courtship. What does respect look like?
Respect to me, you know, as a woman, look like, first of all, confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're not desperate. You're not desperate to have a man. You know, you own yourself. And just because somebody call your name on the street or stops you, you know, does not mean you have to answer. You know, it's the way you present yourself. It's the way you appear, you show up. It's the way you speak, you know, and all of these things. Yes.
That is so... The poise.
Yes.
The way you carry yourself.
The way you carry yourself.
Shows how you respect
yes,
yourself.
Yes. And because so, most oftentimes people will respect you because of people will treat you the way you treat yourself.
So how did you get to the conference? You said United Nations Conference in New York. It was in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you become a part of that? How did they come? Did they seek you or you were in the right place? How did that come about?
Just like most of my invitation come about, you know, the Lord is the one who promotes.
Hallelujah.
You know, that's the short answer to it. Yes.
The Lord is the one.
Yeah, I've never been one to seek out a platform, you know, the Bible says that, and he sent them. Mm-hmm. You know, I wait for the assignment to come to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. Sometimes we think we're hidden, but not that hidden.
Yeah.
You know, just as I have met you today, and I'm on your platform, somebody may see me and like something I said, and then, you know, find out how to book me. That's, you know, yes.
Amazing. So when we start talking about, again, now, if we were to bridge fashion now into church, how should a woman be dressing now? Now, you know, we have churches that, you know, anything goes and it should not.
No.
There should be a standard that the church should always keep.
Yes.
And so how would you address that? What would you say?
The way I look at it, like, God is king. You know, he's a king. And just keep that in the forefront of your mind whenever you're going into the sacred place, you know, a fellowship place called church. You're going to meet the king. You're not going there for somebody to look at you, your neighbor. You're going to meet the king. So dress as somebody who's going to meet the king. And you will know what to put on.
Wow. So what would you want people to know about your global ministry? What would you say?
Well, we are based in Atlanta, Georgia. Okay. And we do a lot of work in the community. And these are things that we do not publicize because I just get up and we just do it, you know, by assisting the needy, like feeding the homeless and bringing them clothing items and the orphans, and you know, and we do a lot of work in that area, and of course the counseling session, the counseling part of the ministry as well. Yes.
Now your children, how do they play a role into what you do?
Well, they understand who mommy is, first of all, and they never have to compete between me and my calling, because the Lord has given me wisdom to how to balance both ministry and family life. Yes. And it's also serving God. Whenever I'm serving my children, I'm there for my partner, my husband, and my children. I'm also serving God, because God didn't make me a wife because he didn't expect me to be one. He didn't give me children because he didn't expect me to be a mother.
Wow. Yes. Powerful.
Amen.
Wow. Wow. So when we look at those things, have you experienced opportunities where you didn't feel like your gift was respected by men in ministry?
Absolutely.
Because a lot of times, you know, we pick up a few biblical texts and we start to say, you all don't deserve to be here. You have to be modest. You have to sit back and not say anything. But it was really a different population that he was speaking to.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to that?
Yeah, and I know they go by the saying of Paul when he spoke those words. And we have to look, first of all, in the context of when Paul spoke those things. And in those days, at that place, I believe it was in Corinth, if I'm not mistaken. And he was speaking to a people in a society where women did not have the privilege of education. So if I'm not educated, what am I going to teach you? Not really, because they didn't show, obviously, in the congregation or in that place, they had questions. And because they were all raising so many questions, so it kind of brought disorder in the room, because the teachers wanted to finish these exposés, but these women kept lifting hands. And therefore, Paul said, if you have any question, you wait for your husband and ask them at home, because in that society at that time, men were the one being taught the Torah. You know, women were not. So now imagine you go to church and the pastor says, you know, women should submit. If I have not been educated on this point, and I'm going to have issues. Hello, wait a minute, hold up. You know, so they were not educated. But we see throughout the Bible powerful women. You know, I'm not going to mention them all, but Deborah was a judge and she led, you know, whole nation. And then Hilda in the book of Numbers, the Bible says that a king had a question about a scroll that he found, and he needed interpretation. He went to the high priest Elkiah and asked Elkiah and some other leaders, powerful leaders, you know, and asked them to find the interpretation and what to do with this for not only him as a king and for the people. Elkiah, the high priest, you know, now we're talking about the Old Testament where, you know, the people were actually more legalistic, you know, than in the New Covenant. And he called upon a woman named Hilda. She was a prophetess. But in those days, Jeremiah. But they didn't go to Prophet Jeremiah. They sought for the counsel of a woman. But they didn't look at her as a woman. They looked at her as a holy vessel of God who could give us guidance, you know. So, and God made us both male and female, you know. And this, he made it when he created both male and female in eternity. So we are both male and female in the image of God. And he said, in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit. They will dream dreams. They will prophesy. Nowhere do I find in there that only male men, you know, as a gender. Everybody.
Everybody.
Yes.
Wow.
Is a part of this.
My God. Dr. Chef, I'm trying to tell you, this has been an amazing opportunity to pull from your cup.
Thank you.
But it's so much more here. I mean, just being a woman. I mean, we just touched the surface of who she is. I can just feel this aura and this energy. And you have been called also to teach women etiquette.
Yes.
And how to carry yourself as a lady. I met her a few hours ago, and all I've seen was grace.
Thank you.
Just like Esther coming in. Just seeing grace come through her. And her king, of course, the amazing man of God.
Thank you.
But just to see what God is doing in your life and through you. And for those that you are touching, knowingly and unknowingly.
Thank you, Jesus.
How you are allowing that light to just shine, not just through the beauty of who she is, but it's because of what's on the inside that she was able to get rid of some of the dark things that she thought God didn't know about
yes.
her.
Yes.
But she purified herself by yes. going to the Word, hearing God for herself, and not believing what people said, but she went to God for herself.
Yes.
To hear him, and she smothered and covered herself in the Word of God.
Yes.
And now this is why we see an amazing woman of God.
Praise God.
Because of those things. So the struggles are not about killing you.
No.
It's about developing you.
Yes.
And it's about bringing out the aura that's on the inside.
Absolutely.
And so we are grateful.
Thank you.
That the aura of God is shining and resonating through you.
Thank you, doctor.
And so when I start to say right now, see, I didn't do my rapid in the beginning, but I'm going to have a two or three before we finish.
Yes.
If you had to say right now, for the ladies, in my purse, I must have what?
Anointing oil. Don't judge me.
Anointing oil. Come on in the room. We yes. travel with anointing oil. We yes. anoint every day. I don't know about all of them,
yes.
but yes. Hallelujah. And if I had to say for a formal event, I must have a what?
My Bible.
All right. Got to have my Bible. Got to read. And then every day, I don't forget to do what?
Pray.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
Prayer is like my breath.
Right.
Yes.
And how do you cover your king?
In prayer? How do I cover him in prayer? Well, I cover him, first of all, in prayer. And I cover him with words of affirmation. Yes, and with love.
No.
You know, letting him know each day, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
You know, we're together in this walk. You're not alone.
Yeah.
It's very important.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
And I let him know I love him every day.
Ah.
Yes.
Let him know you love him every day.
Yes.
Wow. All I'm going to say is, Encourage Nation, she's going to be back.
Thank you.
And so when we ask people now in Atlanta, internationally, if people want to get in touch with you, website, anything, how would they do that?
So my website right now is in under constructions. Okay. We kind of pull it down to put more items in there. And my email address, which is kind of long, I do not have it right
okay.
here
okay.
with me.
You'll put
but
it in bio then.
Yes, thank you. And a phone number, if you like me to call it out, I can.
Nope, we ain't gonna do that.
Okay,
we'll put information on emailing.
Yes,
because you know I believe in respect, and she has a king.
Thank you.
And I'll make sure that we do it. respectfully.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Because sometimes people, you know, they do what they do, but we're going to do what we do. When we cover our queens, we make sure that we hear the Spirit of God.
I appreciate that.
We will put all information in order to get in contact
with you.
Absolutely. We'll put it in the bio for the podcast. And so we have some other things that'll be posted there to make sure that people want to get in touch with Dr. Chaps, especially here in Atlanta, Christian counseling. You're trying to get some support there. She is well trained, well versed, and she's able to help and support, especially mentoring. Wanting to know some different things, and also community service, some of the things that may be happening here in Atlanta that she may be doing that you want to get involved with. Yes. So we want to make sure we put that information out. So again, Dr. Chaps, I'm just telling you right now, I am so excited that I had this opportunity and that Alan introduced us. And
Thank you.
I look forward to, and let me tell you something. Also, this was almost impromptu. She had almost like a 48-hour notice that she was going to do this,
God.
And she was already prepared. The gift was already there, and it was waiting to be exposed. And so we are grateful for that. So, Encourage Nation, I just want to tell you, I need you to like, share, comment. And I need you to go to her webpage when it comes back up, support her, sending encouragement information to her again, inviting her to some of these national events. She's well equipped, well trained, and ready.
Glory,
you see what
Jesus.
I'm saying? And so right now, Encourage Nation, I just want to thank you again as always tuning in, because you know this is Dr. Hickman. This is your counselor, this is your friend, this is your pastor. Come on, this is your best friend, this is your neighbor. Come on, I'm just that guy that want to give you a word of encouragement, let you know that it's not over.
No.
There's life through the trauma.
Yes.
And we come to say live and not die.
Hallelujah.
All right. Encourage Nation, we thank you. Tune in for your next episode. See you soon.
See you soon.